Now, last Sunday, we talked about the confusion that many folks have regarding what appears to be the right stuff in life, when in fact, what appears to be the right stuff is oftentimes actually the wrong stuff, and what appears to be the wrong stuff to the rest of the world is actually the right stuff, because the right stuff in life is all about a relationship with God. Rest assured, it is all about a relationship with God, a growing relationship, a victorious relationship, and one day an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to build upon that message this morning as we talk about four essential steps that are necessary if we want to move upward and onward, or maybe better said, onward and upward in our walk with Christ. And I trust that's what all of us want to do. I trust that all of us want to grow as believers and become more and more like Jesus Christ. Now, what are those four steps? Look above. This is what we want to talk about this morning. First of all, the process. And then we've got to talk about the past. And then we've got to remember the prize. And then we've got to consider our perception. Are you ready? Let's go. The process. First of all, in order to continually move upward and onward in our spiritual journey, we have to be honest with ourselves. And there has to be a certain degree of humility and brokenness in our lives. In other words, we must acknowledge that none of us are at the spot where we need to be. And that's why the Apostle Paul said here that he needed to continually press on. We must acknowledge that we are still a work in progress and that none of us can rest on the laurels of our past accomplishments. Notice verse 12. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on. Now, let me ask you this morning, have you ever met some folks that are, how should I say it, a bit full of themselves spiritually? I have. But the fact of the matter is, actually, they've stopped growing. And they only become then somewhat sanctimonious and judgmental of other people because they think that somehow they have arrived. But the fact of the matter is this, none of us have arrived yet. We haven't. When I was a teenager, there was a famous bumper sticker. Some of you will remember it. It said, "Please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet." And truer words have never been said. We are all still in the process of transformation. We are becoming more and more like Christ. And that process will never end until we see him face to face. Then it will reach its conclusion, but not until then, because 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, when we see him," or the rapture of the church, "that's when we will be like him. For we will see him as he is." But until that moment in time, we are all in the process of becoming. Now, if anybody had the right to brag, if anyone had the right to boast, if there was ever a man who had the right to thump his chest loudly, it was the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he was literally handpicked by God to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and all of us should be glad of that this morning. He was used by the Holy Spirit to record more inspired words than any other person in history. In other words, he authored more books in the Bible than any other author. Founded nearly all the New Testament churches. He was a great preacher, a writer, a Christian debater, a tremendous soul winner. The bottom line is this: if anyone had the right to think that he had arrived, it was the Apostle Paul. But he knew truth. And what was truth? Paul knew, "I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's all that I am. I am a sinner saved by grace. I am still in the process of becoming. I haven't arrived." That's why he said, "I haven't apprehended. There is still work to do." Now, for those who think they have arrived, this is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." And Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, "If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he only deceives himself." See, Paul was not about to deceive himself into thinking that he had arrived, that he didn't have room to grow. He clearly understood that there is what? There's a process. A process by which we become more and more and more like Christ. And that process always begins with humility. It always begins with brokenness. It always begins with honesty. And it always begins with the teachable spirit. But the process doesn't end there. What does Paul go on to say? Notice, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. One translation reads this way: I haven't learned all that I should even yet, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and all that he wants me to be. See, our salvation is just the beginning of the process. It's not the end of the process. Let me say that again. Our salvation is just the beginning. It's not the end. The next step is service. We are saved for service. We are not just saved to be saved, but we are saved for service. Christ saves us. He removes our sin. He makes us acceptable to the Father. But then what does he do? He fills us with the Holy Spirit. Why? He fills us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be used in his service and extend the kingdom of God and reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. So this expression that Paul uses here, lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. When I read that, that says to me that Paul's talking about purpose. The purpose in our life, a purpose that's greater than our personal fulfillment, a purpose that's greater than our personal happiness, a purpose that's greater than our comfort and our houses and our cars and all of those things, a purpose that's far greater than all of those things. When Paul said that I may lay hold of, that's exactly what he was talking about. In other words, that I may lay hold of God's purpose for my life. God's purpose for my life, Christ saved me. He laid hold of me for a purpose, and I am determined to discover that purpose and fulfill that purpose with all of my might. Now, sadly, there are some folks who never move beyond the point of their salvation. I mean, they're saved. There's no question. They are saved. But that's as far as they get. They're going to get into heaven by the skin of their teeth, and for some folks, that's good enough. But don't you want something more? Don't you want to stand before him one day and be proud? Don't you want to stand before your Redeemer and your Savior and the lover of your soul and be able to lay a crown at his feet and to say, Lord, I did the best that I could for you? That's all part of the process. Now, after one considers the process of becoming more and more like Christ so that one can move onward and upward, the second thing that Paul says we need to consider is the past. Let's go to verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, let me ask you this morning. Do you think the Apostle Paul had a past that he'd like to forget? You better believe it. Matter of fact, if you go to verse 6 of the same chapter, remember we talked about it last week. He said, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. I mean, he was so zealous over the law that he literally persecuted Christians. He was there when Stephen was martyred. What was he doing when he was on the road to Damascus when he met Jesus face to face? He was going there to persecute the church. Matter of fact, I would suggest to you that there were probably a whole host of things that the Apostle Paul did before he was the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, that aren't even recorded in the Bible. You know why? The reason I say that is because the early disciples were scared to death of this dude. Absolutely scared to death. His past actions and reputation were very, very hard to overcome. And some of us have past actions and reputations, and we feel like they're hard to overcome. Acts chapter 9, verse 26, it says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe him. They said, no way, Jose. There is no way we're going to believe this guy is saved, not Saul of Tarsus. It's impossible. We know his what? Past. We know his past. And it took one of their brothers, a guy named Barnabas, to come along and say, no, no, I vouch for him. This is legit. He is truly saved by the grace of God. In other words, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, had a lot of baggage when he came to Christ. And guess what? Some of us do too, don't we? I do. I have a history that I'm not proud of. I have lots of regrets. Let me assure you, I have lots of regrets. There are things in my life that I wish I could redo. There are some things in my life that I wish I could magically just erase. But here's the problem. Once the egg is scrambled, can you put it back together again? Once the egg is scrambled, can you somehow unscramble it again? No. No, all you can do is make the best of where you are today. Here's Paul's suggestion when it comes to the past. Are you ready for this? Let it go. He just says, you got to let it go. You've got to confess. You've got to accept God's forgiveness. You've got to make restitution wherever possible. And then you have to let it go. Because if you don't let it go, you will become a prisoner to your past. Now, there are three things about our past that we must never forget. Number one, the past is exactly that. It's the past. It's over. It's done. It's gone. It's finished. It's ended. Kaput. I don't even know what kaput means, but it sounds good. That check has already been written. It's in the mail. You're not going to be able to get it back. Secondly, we must realize that Satan will do all that he can to remind us of our past failures. Why? Because he wants to discourage us. He wants to defeat us. He knows our past is under the blood, but it's not about that. It's not about truth. It's about dissuasion. He wants to keep us discouraged and defeated. And thirdly, we have to realize that even though we can't change our past, we can change the way we respond to the memories of the past. Paul says we need to develop a case of divine amnesia. We all need to develop just a case of divine amnesia. That doesn't mean we're going to forget everything we've ever done, every word, every act. What it means is this: we are going to choose not to dwell on those things, and we are going to choose not to allow our past to dominate our life any longer. Now, I realize it's easier said than done, but by God's grace, it can be done. And here's why. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to liberate us from our past. And nobody understood that better than the Apostle Paul. And that's why he said, as he continued onward and upward in his spiritual journey, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." So Paul says, first of all, you've got to consider the process. Then he says, you've got to look at the past and deal with the past. And then he says, don't forget about the prize. Don't forget about the prize. Let's go on to verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Summer Olympics pretty soon. Next year, maybe. I'm not sure, but I think so. When you watch those great runners in all of those races, have you ever noticed that whenever they get to the finish line, what do? They all lean forward when they get there, don't they? They all lean forward. They get to the line, and then they're leaning forward to the finish line. Have you ever seen one leaning back? No? Have you ever seen them in a race when they're handing the baton? They're leaning back? No, they're always leaning forward. They're always leaning forward. That's exactly what we're to do. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling us to do. He doesn't want us looking back. He doesn't want us leaning back. He wants us looking forward. He wants us leaning forward. That's what he means when he says pressing toward the goal. Now, I've never ran in the Olympics, obviously. But I did run track in junior high school, so that's about as far as I got. Not very far, Jacob, not very far. Just junior high school, that's all I got. But I did run on a relay team, and I was the last leg of a 4x100 relay team. And once that baton was handed to me, rest assured, I was focused and I had one thing and one thing in my sights. I couldn't tell you the kind of cars that were in the parking lot, even though I could see the parking lot. I couldn't tell you if there were pretty girls up in the stands that I wanted to meet after the track meet. I'm sure they were there. I couldn't tell you about anything except the finish line. I was focused on the finish line, and I was oblivious to everything else. And in a sense, that's the kind of spiritual race that we're called to run. Paul said, I'm focused on the prize. Paul said, I'm focused on the finish line. That's what's going to garner my attention. I'm not going to be distracted by all of these other things. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to become distracted from things that are really important in our life? I think that's one of the greatest advices of the adversary. If he can't defeat us, he just wants to distract us. If he can't lead us down the road to outright sin and disobedience, he's satisfied if he can distract us and keep us from focusing on what's important in life, keep us from focusing on the prize. God wants us to let go of the past, reach forward in faith believing toward a bright and prosperous future. And the reason I say prosperous is because Paul says, look, I'm reaching for something. As my old friend used to say, I ain't in this for nothing, baby. I'm reaching for the prize. There's a hell to be shunned, yes, but there's a prize to be gained. There's a heaven to be gained, and there's a prize to be gained. And God wants us to know that. That's why, for example, 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may be able to obtain the prize. Keep our eyes focused on the prize. Paul wasn't content just running the race. He says, no, I'm not just running the race. I want to win. I want the prize at the end. I want the crown at the end. That's exactly the way that you and I are supposed to live. It's not just about finishing. It's about succeeding. It's about obtaining the prize. It's about gaining the reward. That's why Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4:7. I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Finally, there is laid up for me the prize. Finally, there is laid up for me the reward that God has for me. But he says, not only me, but all those who love his appearing. That's all of us. Paul had a goal. He was determined to move onward and upward, upward and onward in his walk with Christ. And he kept his eyes on the prize. And in order to embrace it one day, he realized what? There was a process to be considered. We haven't arrived yet. There's still a process. There's a past that we've got to forget and lay aside. There's a prize that awaits us. And then Paul talks about a perception, a mindset. Webster defines perception as insight, awareness, and discernment. In other words, the way we think, our spiritual perception, plays a vital role in our spiritual development. Look at verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, having this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree which we have already obtained, let us walk by the rule, and let us be of the same mind. Essentially, he's saying this. Before we can ever act right, we've got to think right. Because the real spiritual battle is right here. The real spiritual battle, it's not out there, it's here. 99% of it is right here. It is in our mind. It is always a battle for our mind. That's why Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to discipline our mind. We have to discipline our mind. So Paul says here, you who are mature in the faith, let us have this same mindset, this same perception. What mindset? An unconditional dedication to Christ, an unquenchable desire to know him intimately, and an unstoppable determination to follow him wherever it takes us. Unconditional dedication, unquenchable desire, and unstoppable determination. That's the kind of mindset that we need to have. And loved one, that's the way that we obtain the prize. So let me ask you in closing. Where are you today when it comes to all of those things? Are you focused on the prize? Are you focused on the prize? I hope you are, but can I tell you something? Most people aren't. They aren't. You know, I think most people, and I'm speaking of believers, not unbelievers, I think most believers are sort of just drifting through life without any real long-term eternal goals. They don't think a whole lot about that day when they stand before Christ. They're just sort of getting by to get by, and they're just sort of drifting through life. Matter of fact, I think more people probably give more thought to where they're going to spend their summer vacation than they do their actual life purpose and their eternal destiny. But that's not us. But that's not us. Because even when you know where you want to get to, you still need to know how to get there. And so in this passage, Paul provides us the insight. He says, here's the process. Realize you're not there yet. You're still a work in progress, and you've got to press on. You've just got to keep fighting. You've got to press on. You've got to keep working. Secondly, he says, all of you are going to have a past you've got to deal with. The best thing to do is to forget it. The best thing to do is just lay it aside. The best thing to do is just drop it. Accept God's forgiveness, make restitution wherever possible, and move on with your life, forgetting those things which are behind. But then he says, don't forget about the prize. You're not in this for nothing. One day you're going to receive that crown that he's going to give to those who love his appearing. Don't forget about the prize. Fight for it. Reach for it. Desire it. Do all that you can to obtain it. And then he said, in order to do this, you've got to have the right perception. You've got to think right and put on the mind of Christ. I trust that's where you are today. But if you're not, you can correct that this morning. Because this is what life is truly all about. We're moving upward, onward, onward, upward. Because the best for us is yet to come. And Father, this morning, I just pray that all of us today would I just pray that all of us today would come to understand that life is, I say it every Sunday almost anymore, life is brief, and that we never know what tomorrow will bring. And that these are the things that really, really count. Last week we talked about what's really the right stuff, and then Paul addresses it even more in this chapter. And he says, yeah, this is what's important. And this is how we obtain it. So I just pray that you'd sort of readjust our thinking this morning. And if there's some things that we need to define a little bit better in our life, if there's some things we need to get in better focus, if there are some things we need to lay at the foot of the cross, if there are some things that are keeping us distracted, I pray that we'll settle those issues today. And our life will move in the direction that it needs to, and the direction that will ultimately help us to accomplish your desire for our life and our spiritual goals. This we pray in Jesus' name.